He is risen. Let's try that again. He is risen. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is alive. And he's changed our lives. Aren't you glad that because Jesus lives, we can live as well? Open your Bibles to Ezekiel 37. Have you ever felt like a stranger, out of place? I remember when I was about 7, I moved from Chicago to Louisiana, and I learned how to say y'all. I learned how to eat jambalaya and crawdads. I tried to learn how to eat grits. I just couldn't do it. I joyfully learned how to eat gumbo. And I even took a class in French. Parlez-vous français? Do you speak French? You know, we've all felt out of place. One of the things that is out of place in the world, the beautiful world that God has created, is death. If you've ever been to a funeral, you know that death is unnatural. It was not God's delight to allow death into the world, but for his greater glory, he allowed it to demonstrate the mercy and grace and long-suffering of his nature. And if you want to understand how God wants to take that which is out of place and fix it and redeem it, look to the tomb of Jesus Christ. It is empty. He is not there. He is risen from the dead. This morning's message in Ezekiel 37 is an Old Testament dress rehearsal for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In ancient Israel, God would send prophets in order to kind of give a black and white photograph of the reality of which was coming. And in Ezekiel 37, we have kind of a 2D picture of what was to come. Israel had been taken into captivity, and there had been a great defeat. It was about 580 BC. And there was no hope. And God called Ezekiel to a cemetery of sorts, a valley of discombobulated bones mixed and matched. It was an open grave, a sepulcher for a great army that had been devastated and defeated. It was a picture of death and devastation. And so there was no hope. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there in your life in which there was an area or a place, or maybe your whole life you felt there's no hope? There was a time in your life in which you said, I can't go forward. There's no hope. Perhaps there is something in your life right now that is causing you to feel despair and hopeless. Perhaps you have children that you love and they're either wayward, or perhaps you just don't know what kind of decisions they're going to make when they leave home. They haven't demonstrated any gospel fruit, or not any meaningful, significant gospel fruit. Perhaps you've lost hope in your marriage and you're struggling. And there's this area in your marriage and you just don't know what to do about it. It could be that you are here and you're so lonely. Maybe you're among people day in and day out, but you feel so alone. Or maybe you're just overwhelmed with life. You're just trying to be the best mom, a godly mom. You're trying to be the best dad. You're doing your best. But there doesn't seem to be any breathing room. There seems to be a Mack truck on your chest and you can't breathe. Or maybe you're young and you're not sure what to do in life. You're not really sure what God wants you to do. And you feel overwhelmed. You've got decisions that you need to make. And maybe you've failed already as a young person. And you think, how can I go forward? I've failed. I want to give you hope this morning. Not hope in how to fix yourself, but hope that is not inside of you, but outside of you in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is hope. And I want you to see this Old Testament dress rehearsal for resurrection in Ezekiel 37. Would you stand as we read God's holy word? Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 10. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many bones on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. As I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Some of you have come to a valley in your life. Maybe this is the first time you've been in church in a long time. And can I just say, I'm glad you're here. But maybe you've been devastated in your life by your own choices. You've been devastated by the manner of your thinking that has led you down the wrong pathway. And maybe you're here this morning on this Easter Sunday morning and you're asking, can these dry bones live? You're looking at your life and you see a devastating defeat. All you see are dry, dead, disjointed bones. Nothing makes sense. Your thoughts are mainly to please yourself. Your life's goals, if you really put them under a magnifying glass, are quite selfish. You're living life not for the glory of God, neither for the good of others, but you are living life for yourself. And the wise man in Proverbs said this, the way of the transgressor is, it's hard. A selfish life is a hard life. You think you know what you want. You set your goals, you get those goals, and all you have left is those things. You've got stuff, you've got accolades, you've got power, you've got praise, but you don't have what really matters. Because what really matters is in our God and in the ones that He created. To love God and to love our neighbor is the whole fulfillment of the law. Can I ask you a question? Are you looking at yourself with all of your successes and saying, I'm just dead inside? On this resurrection morning, that's a good question to ask, but look carefully at your life. This devastating defeat. The Bible tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We're all a bunch of skeletons. We're the living dead. You go to the store and you see someone working, and perhaps they know the Lord. Perhaps they love the Lord, and everything they do is for the Lord. But so many people, you look into their eyes and they're empty. Go to a sports game, 50,000 people in a baseball park, and the vast majority of them are dead. And it's like an exceeding great army that is just dead. And they live for themselves, and they live for their achievements. And then they die and everyone forgets about them. Isn't there an alternative? Here in Ezekiel 37, God gives us an Old Testament dress rehearsal of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is the only alternative to man's sinful condition. Look at your own heart. Look at the valley of devastation and defeat. This is the place where dreams for family and life die. Hope for the future dies here in this valley. Marriages die here in this valley. The smell of death is in the air, and there is not one drop of moisture anywhere. There is only defeat. Maybe that's where you are today. It was where Jesus' disciples were after 9 o'clock on that Friday. They had trusted in the Messiah. They had looked to Him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings and God of Gods, as the Messiah that all the prophets had promised. And they had observed His amazing life and all the miracles that He did and the compassion that He had upon the people. He not only went in within the borders of Israel and touched and healed and preached, but He went outside the borders of Israel and touched and healed and preached and fed thousands. Because you must understand that in our devastating defeat, God is the victor. And God is a God of love. God hasn't defeated us. Really, we've defeated ourselves. We've given way to the great enemy, Satan, the great deceiver. We've joined his ranks, and we've left ourselves devastated. What about you here this morning? Do you believe that without God, there is no meaningful change for your life? You can try to make yourself alive, but trying to make yourself alive is like trying to do heart surgery on yourself. It's impossible. It's utterly impossible. There is no possible way that you can help yourself. The Bible says in Psalm 108 and verse 12, give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. Do you believe that? Do you believe that human help is worthless? For any meaningful change in your life, you're not going to read a book, a humanly authored book, that's going to absolutely change your life, unless it contains the Word of God. Can I get a witness here? Is there any hope in ourselves? Are we going to come up with an idea to improve this or that in our lives? All of that are all of those things are fruit problems. We're busy trying to fix the fruit when we need to go down to the root of everything concerning our defeat. The root is our heart and our relationship with God. We can read 10,000 books on how to live pure as a single. We can read 20,000 books on how to be a great husband or a great wife, or how to raise children if you have children. None of that works You got to go right down to the root. Here's the thing. Without God, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're slaves to the devil. We're slaves to the world. We're slaves to our own passions. But look at Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God. Aren't you thankful for those two words? But God, who is rich in mercy. Even when we were dead in that valley of dry bones, He raised us up with Jesus Christ together. By grace, you have been saved, it says in verse 5. Jesus said it this way in the book of John 15 and verse 5. Without me, you can do nothing. Can we just confess this morning, Jeremiah 17, 5? Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. If you trust in man, you're already defeated. You're already done. So not only do we see a devastating defeat, secondly, we see another scene where the prophet is asked a life-changing question. The Lord says to Ezekiel, son of man, verse 3 of Ezekiel 37, can these bones live? I mean, can there be real change? Perhaps you've been here going to church and you've been trying to serve the Lord and you're asking, can there be real, meaningful change in my life? Perhaps you're here and you've never even really considered seriously following the Lord. But today is the day of your salvation. Now is the accepted time. And all of the sudden, the life of the Spirit is coming into you and asking you this question. And you're asking it back to God. Can these bones live? Can I live? Can I ask you a question? Can God raise Jesus from the dead? Did He raise Jesus from the dead? He can also raise you from the dead. Hallelujah. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel answered, O Lord God, You know. You see, God does know, doesn't He? He knows the end from the beginning. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. He knows. And you say, oh, well, I don't think He knows the depths of my problems. They're so complicated. They're so confused. God can untangle what man cannot untangle. God can bring a solution to a problem that man cannot solve. Because He is almighty. He is omnipotent. And He holds the power over death and hell and sin. Can these bones live? Can God raise the dead to life? Look at the grave outside of the holy city. Just above it is Golgotha, where thieves and criminals are crucified. Look to that grave, the grave of a rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. Fulfilled prophecy in giving that grave to our Lord. And they put a dead body there. But that dead body is not there anymore because 3 days passed. And just as the scriptures prophesied in Hosea, Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. If you wonder if God can change your life in Christ, look to the empty tomb of Jesus. Can these bones live? Oh Lord, You know. You know. And He knows. He knows perhaps that you have given up hope in your life. Perhaps you have called yourself a Christian since you were a child. And there have been times of revival and beauty in your Christian walk. But you're in a dark, dry, disconnected place. And if God were to x-ray you spiritually, your bones would be so dry. And you'd be scattered just like those in the valley of dry bones. And you're asking yourself, and you're asking God, can these bones live? And you know what? God knows. God knows what happened to get those bones of yours out of joint. God saw it from the beginning when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they chose a pathway of destruction. And he's watched you your whole life from the time you were a little baby. You know who rejoiced in you more than your mama and your daddy? Oh, our great God in heaven. He rejoiced in you. He loves you. Even though you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he saw you every crooked path you went down and he wept over you. He loved you with an everlasting love. While we were yet without strength, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. Because he loves you. I want to ask you, can these bones live? You might as well ask the question, is God's love infinite? Is his grace like an ocean? Is his mercy like the never-ending expanse of the universe? It's the same question. Is God good? Yes, he is. And he knows your devastation. And he has done what only an omnipotent, merciful, kind, and loving God can do. He has sent a gift to you in the form of his son. The son who would take the wrath of God for your sins. The son who would die, who would cry out, it is finished. Who would cry out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A son who would die and be put into the grave and would be buried. But a son on the third day who would defeat death and hell. A son who rises from the grave and says, behold, I make all things new. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This is the Christ who is raised from the dead, who promises to wipe away every tear from your eyes so that there will be no more death or funerals or sickness, or pain, or doctors. No need for health insurance anymore, saints. Can God do the work? Can these dry bones live? What's the answer? You may be totally defeated today. You may be kind of a nominal Christian, but one who's not born again. In other words, Jesus is going to see you on the day of judgment. And you're going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't I preached in your name? And haven't I cast out demons and done many wonderful miracles? And he will say, depart from me, you lawless person. I never knew you. It's not enough to be a Christian in name only. I can go into McDonald's. That doesn't make me a hamburger. I could say I'm a hamburger all day long. Doesn't make me a hamburger. I could say I'm a Christian all day long. I'm a flying elephant. Doesn't make me one. Well, who can make a Christian? The God who can make dry bones live. That's a life-changing question. You ask yourself that question and God will give you new life. God will do what you cannot do. You've come in here perhaps totally defeated. You're not born again. You've tried to walk with God. You've tried to pray. You're religious, but you're not alive. God can make you alive. Maybe you are a Christian, but you have said, I've suffered such abuse in my life. I feel so used by the world. I feel used up. I feel trampled on. Those that love me the most treat me the worst. You say, I feel so dry inside, so dead. I'm just dying inside. But I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, can those dry bones live? All our lives, God is trying to teach us that our spouse is not our Savior, our children is not our Savior, our education is not our Savior, our job is not our Savior. You could be in a cold, dry cell in Siberia and have the joy of the Lord. Because He is our joy, He is our strength. You may be here and your family is in ruins. And maybe you're trying to change your family through legislation, making rules. And you think, if I just make enough good rules, that'll change my children's character. Listen, no child ever changed in a meaningful way because of rules. In fact, it changed them for the worse and not for the better. Now, I'm all for rules, but real change comes through the heart, through a connection. God fills mom and dad. Mom and dad display this amazing, loving, gracious, holy, pure, but long-suffering and patient God to children in great humility. You see, some of the problem in our homes is because we're not asking this question, can these dry bones live? We are trying to make the dry bones live. We're putting the bones of our children together and say, live, live. I'll put this bone connected to that bone and that bone connected to this bone, just like the song goes. And you could try to put your children's lives together by giving them a great education, by getting them involved in all kinds of activities, music and sports. But they can have the highest level of education and still have a dry, dead life. You see, the answer is not in what we can do, not in how we can put our kids back together again or put ourselves back together again. The fix that we need doesn't come from us. It comes from God. That's why we need to ask the Lord. Can these dry bones live? I don't have any answer for myself, but I know the one who does. Let me tell you the key to the miracle. There are actually three keys. I want you to see this in Ezekiel 37, verses 4 through 7. The Lord said to Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and you will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. You shall know that I am the Lord. God says, do you want change in your life? The first thing you need to do is prophesy in the power of the Spirit. The Old Testament word for spirit and breath and wind are all the same, ruah. And they're all the same. It's a play on words. He says, prophesy, preach in the power of the Spirit. We look for change in so many different ways, but what we must do is not seek necessarily principles, though there are principles involved. We need to seek a person in this book. Change comes by experiencing Almighty God who made you by the power of His Spirit. You see, the Word of God lays us bare. Isn't that what Hebrews 4:12 says? It divides asunder between soul and spirit. It leaves us bare before a holy God. You see, we think our sins are so minimal. We're not so bad. But we begin to read in the Word of God and we realize our problem is far worse than we could have ever dreamed of. We cannot understand the depths of our need for Christ unless we read the revelation of this book. Some of you know this book, but you don't reverence it. You know it. Some of you have heard it since you were about this tall, since you were in your mother's womb. And yet, truth be told, if God were to bring you before His throne, you might try to say Jesus is Lord, but God would correct you and say, no, you, ma'am, you, sir, are Lord of your life right now. And all the Bible that you have is worthless until you reverence that this is the word of the Lord that determines destinies, Forever is a long time. He says, you want real change? You want the key to the miracle of the new birth? The key to being raised from the dead? You can't raise yourself. You got to hear the voice of the Son of God calling out like He raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus, come forth. And the only way that you're going to do that is that you reverence the Word of God. Not memorizing it. Anyone can memorize it. Any parrot can repeat it. I'm asking you to respond to it in your heart and to reverence it as the word that it is, the word of your Creator, the word that is above the Supreme Court, the word that is above all kings and nations and governments, the word of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the God of Gods. He says, prophesy to the wind. Not only do we need the preaching of the word, the proclamation of the word, we need it to ourselves. We need to preach the word to ourselves. So much of what I do in counseling is simply my own preaching to myself, because I'm so devastated by my own sin. I can't believe how stubborn a heart I have and how much I know of the Lord and of His Word, and yet I don't reverence Him. And I have to preach the Word of God to myself day in and day out. Because let God be true and every man a liar. Disney says, trust your heart. But the Lord says, lean not to your own understanding. Don't trust your heart. Preach to yourself before you preach to others. Moms and dads, preach to yourself before you have these platitudes for your children. Pharisees, preach but do not practice. Let us come to our children. Let us come to others. When we preach to others in a broken heart, saying, I'm the one that needs help. I say this to my kids all the time. You need to obey me, but I'm not worthy of your obedience. How are we going to expect our children to hear the voice of the Son of God when the voice of our pride is so loud? So often we have, instead of a spirit of peace in our home, a spirit of righteousness and well-being. And by righteousness, I mean that God has set everything right, not self-righteousness. A place of order in our hearts. A place of sweetness and love and welcome. And we don't have that in our homes because it's not in our hearts. Because we're not reverencing the Word of God. Reverence the Word of God. Before you preach to others, preach to yourself. Prophesy to the wind, He says. You say, I don't have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Reverence the word of Christ. Hear His voice. Take it in like a water in a dry and thirsty land. But then understand prayer. Understand the power of prayer. That when you lift your heart to God, I'm not talking about kind of a formalized prayer that everyone will be impressed with. But I mean a desperate prayer. Look at verse 9. It says that God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain. He says, I want you to pray. I want you to pray to me. And ask God to send the four winds. I want you to ask me to breathe on this valley of dry, dead, and disconnected bones. James said, you have not because you ask not. Jesus said in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone, how many? Once again, how many? Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Listen, Jesus Christ is alive from the dead, and He ever lives to make intercession for you. Why in the world would you not call upon Him in prayer? See the power of the proclaimed word. See the power of prayer, and then see the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the third key to the miracle of not only regeneration, but sanctification. The life-giving power of the Spirit without the activity and operation of the Holy Spirit's power. Instead of being a mighty army, we're a defeated army in a cemetery filled with dead bodies. When you think about it, we can try to put ourselves together. We can dress up. We can put everything in its right place. We can sing the right songs and preach the right sermons and turn the lights down low and create the perfect worship climate. But if we don't have the living Spirit of God active and moving and powerful in our hearts, there will be no meaningful change. The picture of the Spirit coming from the four winds is a powerful, vigorous, and violent display of divine omnipotence. You call on the Lord, and He responds with His Spirit. And He goes to the unseen places, to the places nobody goes, to the places you won't even go. And He'll convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment. You see, you came into this place this morning wondering, what does the resurrection of Jesus have to do with me? It has everything to do with you, as you see from this Old Testament dress rehearsal. I want you to see, finally, that you may have come here this morning for an unexpected resurrection. Perhaps you've been dead in your trespasses and sins. You've been dry, hopeless. But today, the Lord is calling you into a whole new life. Look at verse 7 of Ezekiel 37. He said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And what happened? Well, there was a commotion. He said, there was a sound. Behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Isn't that what happens when God's word goes forth? When Paul preached the word, there was either rioting or rejoicing. There was always a commotion. People are either rejoicing or rejecting in the message of the cross and resurrection of Jesus. You cannot be still when the word of God goes forth. There is always a rattling. There is always a sound. There is always a commotion. And it may be bone to bone where you're rejecting the gospel. Or it may be the sound of your vocal cords chiming together to sing, praise be to the Lamb who was slain and who now lives. There's always a rattling. There's always a commotion because God's word, as He says in Isaiah 55, will not return void. And then there's a connection. The bones, it says, came together. You know, when the word of God goes forth, the mind begins to put things in logical order. The confusion that comes from the world begins to dissipate. And the logic of God, who is the Logos, who is true logic, begins to reign in your heart and your mind. And you begin to cast away everything that exalts itself over the throne of Jesus Christ. There's a connection. Sinews come together, bones come together, flesh comes together. And yet there is only a corpse. Things begin to happen. Maybe a person hears the word of God and they stop swearing. You've been there, haven't you? Before you came to know the Lord, that was kind of a process, wasn't it? And sometimes we have these amazing experiences in our lives that are not conversion because you're not alive yet, but it's the drawing together of the Holy Spirit. This is a process that begins at your mother's womb. And as you see the creation of God and He begins to speak to you and you pray to Him, and sometimes He speaks to you very powerfully. But there comes a day, a moment, when there is a divine completion. Verse 10. He said, I prophesied as He commanded me. And the breath came into them. And they, what? they lived and stood on their feet, an exceeding great army. If you're in Christ today, God did it. And he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. You're not finished yet. And maybe you're here this morning and it's just a valley of dry, dead, disconnected bones. But I want you to know, on the authority of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, that God intends to use everything in your life, both the most horrific and devastating things and the good things, and work them all for your good, so that you might be conformed into the image of His Son. He will bring a divine completion of this confusion of a valley of dry bones. Just as God brought completion, Jesus said, "It is finished." But the completion came when Jesus Christ, though surrounded by an army, with a sealed tomb, the angel rolled the stone away and he walked out of that tomb in a new resurrected body. And one day, you will no longer sin, brothers and sisters, because of the resurrection of Jesus. One day God will complete it in you. And one day you will be perfectly conformed into the image of Jesus. And let me leave you here. What would Easter Sunday morning be without an invitation? An invitation to come to Christ. If you're here without Christ, please hear me now. Can these bones live? Yes. You ask God that today. And you have an expectation of a divine completion. Let's stand together. Father, we ask that you would work deep in hearts, cut us, show us where we have been trying to change ourselves and our lives and our own power. Lord, we pray now with divine omnipotence, because it is Jesus who is interceding for us. We pray to the four corners of the earth that the wind of the Spirit would come and bring anyone here who is lost to be alive in Jesus Christ, believing that He died for their sins and that He rose again on the third day. We praise You, O God. We praise Your Son, our living Savior, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.